Thank you, Olga, and of course, thank you to Volodya for putting on this symposium. It's my second time here. I'm very happy to be back, although I suspect Volodya has a secret agenda to punish me. Because last time I introduced the movie 1612, which if you haven't seen,
oh,
it's terrible, but it has unicorns.
This one does not.
Does not even have unicorns.
And let me start my introduction by highlighting two things that I think everyone should read, should one want to read something about this movie, Alexei German's Hard to Be a God. Fred Corney's review in Kinokultura is spectacular. The opening paragraph alone is worth reading. I actually toyed with the idea of just reading that and letting it sit there for you, but I won't. And also Jerry McCausland, who's going to be responding to this movie, wrote really excellent program notes, I think. So I'll just reference those by way of saying I don't have to repeat them. Let me start instead in 2008, when Alexei German held a special screening of his film Hard to Be a God for a very select audience. And this special screening was reported widely. Among the people reporting there and reporting it, Dmitry Glikov, the writer, went and he wrote for Kommersant and declared it to be, already in 2008, the most significant cinematic event of the last 10 years. And he compared his viewing of it, his attendance at this special screening, to Alexander Twardowski's first reading of One Day in the Life of Ivan Denisovich when it appeared in Novosibirsk. So I want to start with that, the pre-screening and Glikov's reaction to it, because I think the event and the review help introduce us to what we're about to see. Glikov became one of many to compare the on-screen look of Hard to Be a God to Hieronymus Bosch or Peter Bruegel the Younger, calling the film squat, dirty, rough, bloody, yet authentic medieval world. He also noted the almost obsessive deep attention to detail at every shot, and drew attention that we should draw attention to too and pay attention to as we watch it. The active interaction of characters on screen with the camera. Glikov compared it also with Andrei Rublev, but noted that Tarkovsky's opus is much more tied to the 1960s era and, quote, far from German's nightmare world. This nightmare, Glikov wrote, is not naturalistic in his view, but dreamlike, claustrophobic. Finally, Glikov, of course, became one of the first to try and weigh in on the film's meanings. And I'll say it now, it's hard to pinpoint an exact, succinct, meaningful interpretation of Hard to Be a God. Glikov posited it's a story about life without art, about the death of God in a land with no God. His reaction to Glikov provide us with some important windows into our viewing today. We too should think about the look German's film, the intricate, dirty details, the faces that look at us and interact with us, and of course, what, after 3 hours, we should make of this film, what world is open to us. Just as important in 2008, Glikov recounted the story of the film and the stories behind it. Hard to Be a God is based on the 1964 novel by Arkady and Boris Strugatsky. German's narrative is one adapted without some of the original's more explicit backstory and more over-the-top anti-fascist, anti-extremism interpretations. Instead, a short voiceover narration does much of this work for us in the film. Instead, we are plunged into a world in the future where humans from Earth are sent to a planet like Earth, only as we'll see one where it rains a lot more frequently, and a planet where the Renaissance never happened, and one stuck in the Middle Ages, or at least stuck in the widely perceived Middle Ages as the Dark Ages. My medieval colleagues in history would hate the depiction of the Middle Ages. The Earth characters, including Don Romato, our main character, cannot intervene directly to fundamentally change the situation they see. Instead, they have to integrate fully, participate within its rhythms, without adjusting its history. The title of the novel and the film stem from this dilemma. It's hard to be a god in a world where you can be. German's version of the Strugatsky's novel is visceral, visual, and multi-sensory. There's a lot of smelling and a lot of touching for a movie. I toyed with the idea of having Jerry come up here and smell me while I do this. Picture that.
We may still do it.
Picture that.
Teaser.
We, the viewer, in other words, are thrust into this world with little in the way of information to guide us. Our story, and German's story, also has a long gestation that I want to trace for you briefly. It's one Glikov also covered in his account in 2008. Hard to Be a God was German's fifth and last film. It was filmed from 2000 to 2006, then edited and refilmed for years, only coming out in 2013 after German's death. It was thus the last film of a truly original, uncompromising filmmaker. You'll see, for those who have seen German's films, recognizable elements of his style, his filmmaking techniques, his use of sound, mutterings instead of full dialogues. Yet the story of Hard to Be a God predates even his filmography. It's one that goes back to 1968. In an interview German did with Piotr Weil for Iskustvo Kino in 2000, after the shooting had started in the Czech Republic, German explained that he had initially received the go-ahead from authorities to film the Strugatsky novel in August 1968. He co-wrote a script with Boris Strugatsky himself, found a place to shoot in Czechoslovakia, and began filming in Crimea with plans to go to Prague, but the Soviet invasion postponed that for 32 years, as German recounted in his 2011. After 32 years, Germán returned to the film and revised the script with his wife, Svetlana Karmelita. He created the Kingdom of Akanar in Tochnik Castle, outside of Prague, a castle that historically was one where the 30 years war waged around it and damaged it, lending its history to the field of film. And throughout this long process, Germán said in 2000, the plot in his mind remained timeless. He suggested it's always hard to be a god, to enact change, to get people out of violent, dirty lives. At the time he began shooting again in 2000, Germán, in his interview with Weil, referenced the Chechen Wars as a decision, as a frame for his decision to return to the story in the 1990s, as well as at that point, 1999, quote, nothing had come from Yeltsin, even though the director, Germán, thought he was not a bad man. Germán, in this interview in 2000, said, it's almost impossible to be a god. And what can you do about it? Everything gets turned around, there's blood, stupidity. Nothing remains but to take a sword and start chopping off. In the end, as you were about to see, Germán aimed to create an entire world on screen. And his creation is what has prompted the comparisons to Hieronymus Bosch and Tarkovsky, and to debates about its meanings. Among the other debates that Weil and Germán engaged in the 2000 interview was whether it was realistic or fantasy. Weil suggested it was fantasy. Germán said it was a different form of realism from his other films, one that pointed out how in our real lives we have a tendency to delude ourselves. One final point, Bosch might not be such a bad way to think about Germán's creation, even though it's not a perfect comparison. For starters, so many reviewers and reviews turn to the Dutch painter. In his magnificent new study of Bosch and Bruegel, the art historian Joseph Leo Korner reminds us that the two painters might now be known for their genre paintings of everyday life, but in their time, they became famous for what was seen as an art of the bizarre, the monstrous, and the uncanny. In his works, Bosch's works, Korner argues, Bosch endeavored to show in great catalogs of punishment the wages of sin and hell, and to visualize the why of eternal pain. Bosch in his time was seen as an alchemist of sorts, one working on canvas but who still used magic potions to conjure up images that dwelled in our dreams, in our subconscious, and in our collective unconscious. For Bosch, his recent biographer has written, the pictorial space is not an observed slice of reality, but a symbolically charged scene of action. We might apply these words, however loosely, to Germán's hard to be a god. Yet this vision, this conjuring of a collective unconscious, this cataloging of eternal pain, is Bosch if the earthly delights are left out, leaving only a vision of hell on earth. Or Bruegel if his works were only consisted of multiple versions of the triumph of death. To conclude, a word about our theme. Germán's film, Hard to be a God, and when it came out in 2013, was awarded the White Elephant for the event of the year. I think that short history I traced for you in part explains why it was named the event of the year. On Kinopoisk, which is a film aggregate site and a really good place to look at if you're looking for reviews, 55 Russian reviewers reviewed this film. That's an extraordinary number. By comparison, 17 reviewed Hard to Be Hans, or Good Hans, Hard to Be Hans. It is Hard to Be Hans. Compared Good Hans yesterday. 47 of the 55 were positive, or at least rated positive. Victor Matizan entitled his review, Have a Nice Trip to Hell. He noted how everyone compared it to Bosch's Hell, but also suggested that we might see this, if there's such a thing as art for art's sake, this might be cinema for cinema's sake, and compared Germán's vision instead to a Tower of Babel. Fred Corney, I opened with his, pointing to his review, suggested it's an exquisite torment on many levels. And Jerry, in his program notes, noted it's an achievement in cruelty toward his viewers, his actors, and his protagonist, but also a genuine achievement. I think I've prepared you well. You can now decide for yourself what you think.